Hello, gorgeous people, and welcome back to another episode of What Is This Feeling? A podcast where I talk about everything gay, theater, drag, spirituality, and sex. My name is Piotr, and I'm a Pisces, and this week we're going to talk about magic. We've got magic to do, just for you. Yes, all about magic. Magical feelings, magical energies, magical... Ooh, let's go. Listen to it all in What Is This Feeling? Yo! Magic, magical. I didn't look up the definition because I felt this was a very feely kind of thing, so I just felt it. The first kind of magical moment that I remembered, and it had to do with a magician as well, which is funny, was there is a Dutch magician called Hans Klok. And he's a world-famous magician. He's been on Vegas. He had a residency in Vegas. And he did a show in a theme park in the Netherlands. The theme park is Efteling, which is magical. Which was the epiphany of magical when I was younger. That theme park is just magical. They have a fairy tale forest and all the rides are amazing. All the rides have their own kind of stories, and it's not just like a metal roller coaster ride or a metal kind of wit. No, it is pure illusion. It's pure fantasy. So that's well, tick part one of the magical feeling that I have when going to Efteling. And there was a show on, they've got a theatre and they had a magic show. Now, I haven't seen a lot of famous people when I was young. I think it must be like 6 or 7 or something. And I just heard a lot of stories about this magician. And I remembered sitting in an auditorium and being a bit nervous. And when he came on, and I think he came on through kind of the auditorium, because that was kind of the, oh, hey, this is a surprise that he just came in. And I remembered him walking by, and I was like, oh! I got like a, you know when you sometimes have a little shock? I don't have that in a way anymore. When you have like a little shock when you see like a famous person. And I had that with that magician, which was quite random. He's gay as well, by the way. Yeah, very lovely. And that was my first kind of, well, a magician show, world-class magician show, and the first kind of feeling when I saw someone famous, or maybe because he was gay, I'm not sure. And going to something current, I saw the show Alan Cumming Is Not Acting His Age on Monday, and it was magical, and that really inspired me in a way to do this theme today, because Alan Cumming, award-winning, well-known, incredible actor, singer, performer, Broadway, I'm not sure if it must have done West End. Yeah, West End. Films, TV, he's done everything. Presenting, he is presenting The Traitors now in America. And such an inspirational person, telling stories, singing songs, and he is just him. It's just him. And he shows himself, and he lets the audience see him. And, you know, he just let us see a little spark of that, what makes him him. And that was just so magical. And you know, there's a lot of performers who also have one-person shows who, you know, still have a character and that kind of stuff. And it is so powerful just to show yourself. And I think I saw Jessie Ware last year, and she had that as well. Even though her music is so cool, when in between songs, when she talked to the audience, you just saw the authenticity that she has and who she is. And Alan Cumming had the same, the massive authenticity. That's the word, right? Authentic, being authentic. And he is absolutely not acting his age, and I don't ever want him to act his age, because he's fabulous. So yeah, that inspired me to be magical today.
My pulse is rushing. My head is reeling. My face is flushing. What is this show?
We all know that theatre magic has been around the block for many, many decades. Theatre is magic. You know, get drawn into a story, drawn into whatever. Now, I worked front of house quite a bit. And at one point, I was part of the supervisor team. I was cover supervisor. But that also meant that I was involved in a lot of supervising things. So at one point, I was doing interviews to hire new people for the front of house team. Now, there was a person that came in. It was me and my colleague who did it. And a person came in. And so I'm Dutch. And the quote, going above and beyond, was not as a saying that I knew. And because in the theatre that I worked and in the company, they said that a lot. We want you to go above and beyond. And I thought it was a quote that the theatre made up, going above and beyond. I thought that was something to do with theatre and with that specific. So I didn't knew it was already kind of a general, you know, thing. So we interviewed this person, and at one point they said, I go above and beyond, and I was like, oh, they, you know what they're talking about or whatever, and I was sold by that. When we hired that person, they did a 180 when they showed up at shift. They were, well, yeah, not very helpful. So above and beyond, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And then I found out that going above and beyond was just a general thing and not just, oh, this is the quote of the theatre, quote of what theatre is. So yeah, above and beyond, sure. But that person absolutely didn't. But we hired them, which was, yeah. I've got myself to blame. Well, yeah, fine. I'm not there anymore, so it's fine. Oh yeah. So jumping back to the first ever theatre I worked in, first ever front of house job was at the Cambridge Theatre, where Matilda is still on. That job made me appreciate children and musicals, because I never really enjoyed children and musicals, but seeing those kids do 8 shows a week, props for you, babe. But because it's a family show, lots of families come there as well. So I was selling slush. I love slush, by the way. Every shift there, I definitely had one whole pint of slush, because when you would sell it as blue, red, and sometimes yellow, and the people on the bar, they make them and prep them for you, and sometimes they mix up slush, because that's cool, you know, so you have like a red and blue slush, but after the interval, you can't pour that back into the machine because it's a mixed drink. So I literally got a pint of slush every shift that I worked there, and I loved it. I will do it again because I would like to have a slush machine. Slush. Loved it. Matilda. Cool. So we're selling slush in the upper circle, way at the top. And like I said, family show, kids are there. So a boy came up to me. He was like 5, 6 years old, wanted a slush. No, he didn't want a slush. He didn't want a slush. But he said to me, Amanda Thripp, that's one of the roles in the show, she's been pulled by her hair and swirled around and thrown into the auditorium. Yes. So he was like, how do they do that? And I thought, well, I can tell that she's wearing a harness with some straps that the actor who plays Miss Trunchbull thrills her around with, and then the lights go down, and then some, you know. I'm not going to tell that to this 5-year-old, because he will be disappointed. So I said, because he was aware that there are actors on stage, that it's, you know, they're telling a story, but how do they do that? So I said, when the children get cast in the show, and when the girl gets cast to play Amanda Thripp, she gets a very special shampoo that she has to use so that her hair will get very strong and that they can pull her by her hair. So when a child gets cast for Amanda Thripp, you get a shampoo to use, and then you can do that scene. And he looked at me with like big eyes, and then he ran back to his parents, and I looked over, and then his mother was like laughing at me and like nodding. Yeah, because you just want to keep that up. You want to keep that magic up for children. You don't want to say, well, it's just smoke and mirrors and lights. You just want to keep them in the fantasy, because that's what made me love theatre, and that's what made me, A, the person who I am, and B, I don't have a B. Yeah, so that's what I enjoyed with kind of the magicalness of theatre, is to just enjoy it. And you know, being an actor and being in drama school, but whatever, you had a bit of an ups and downs of enjoying theatre, because you became very critical on, you know, technique, skills and stuff. So you lose the kind of, oh, I'm going to go to a theatre and I'm going to fully emerge and I'm going to fully give myself to the show and let myself take with it. Because that's a mindset, because I've been to shows where I was like, I don't like it. I don't think this is well done, whatever. And then I would see the show again, and then I would be in a mindset of like, oh, I just want to see a show. I want to, you know, be that kid again, to just be in awe of what is happening on stage and be sucked into this story and into what theatre is. Magic, live theatre, live. It is live, sometimes with click track, but it is live. There's a band, or like a couple of, it is live, and that's what magic is. It's cool. Yeah, that's it.
Ooh, mama, it's drag. Oh,
drag is amazing. Drag is cool. I see drag as art for myself. Through drag, I have discovered more personal and gender things for myself. But I do still think, for me, a drag is art, and which is quite magical. But what I want to say is, talking about magic and illusion, I feel, you know, in the 90s and the early 2000s, when you had trans people on Jerry Springer coming out for who they are in a situation, and people are like, oh, you fooled me, you tricked me by thinking you are a woman but you're not. So the whole kind of gender thing has been stamped as it is an illusion, because someone else is perceiving it in a different way. And luckily we are moving into a good era where we educate people on what gender is, and I think people are understanding it more because we keep on talking about it. And it was funny that back in the day, people thought it was that you tricked someone if you felt that you were a different gender, that you were tricking other people with that. Does that make sense? Exactly. No. What your gender is has nothing to do with anybody around you. And what other people around you say to you has nothing to do with you. It's their vision. It's their mindset. Oh, the thing that I do want to say about drag with being magical. Last year, it's already 2024. It's crazy. Do you remember the change of the millennium in 2000? Do you know where you were? I knew where I were. I was. I was at my grandparents', because we always celebrated New Year at a different place in the family. And that year we went to my grandparents' house. I was outside in the little garden bit, and I wore glasses that said 2000 with the middle two O's as actual glasses around my eyes. Do you remember that? Do you remember those glasses? Thank you if you do remember them. And I just watched all the fireworks. By the way, in the Netherlands, they go crazy for fireworks. I don't know how it is. In London, it's quite quiet, but I'm not sure how it is in different smaller cities here in the UK. But in the Netherlands, they go crazy with fireworks. So yeah, I remembered being, I think I was nine years old, and wearing those glasses and just, yeah, that's 24 years ago. Crazy. I must be eight then. Crazy. Well, yeah. Oh yeah, talking about. So I said last year, me and my boyfriend went to Los Angeles and San Francisco, and in Los Angeles we went to Hamburger Mary's, and we saw a Latin drag night, and that was the first time we sat on a table, had some food, some drinks, lovely, and then the drag show began with seven or eight drag queens. It's a lot. I love it when there's like lots of drag queens performing on one night. If I can say the magic of them lip syncing, walking past you handing a $1 bill, and they're looking at you, and it's kind of flirting and it's kind of selling. It's like they draw you in, and it's so magical. It's so fun. And it makes you feel special. I want every person in the world to go to a drag show in America and have a dollar bill, a $1 bill in hand, and feeling the magic of the drag queen grabbing it, maybe even touching your hand and looking into your eyes when they do that. They need to look in your eyes a bit. You need to have that contact. That contact is magical because it's like mysterious and fun and cute and sexy. It's all in it. Yeah. Do it.
Welcome to the Zen Garden.
Now, I feel I have done some magical things that has to do with spirituality, which so what I've done a couple of times in my life is write a letter with things I wanted to let go, and just literally made a list, put it in an envelope, and when it was a full moon, I burned it outside in the full moon to let go of the things I wanted to let go of. And I've made little altars, little shrines of crystals and incense and things that meant something for me, and made like little altars of it. I been into the Akasha many a times. So the Akasha, your Akasha is the library of your life. So there's a place called the Akasha, and it holds every information of your life, period. It literally holds everything. Everything that you have been through, and things that you can't even remember, things from past lives. It's all in this massive library called the Akasha. So when you want to know something, struggling with something, confused about something, want clarity, you can usually through meditation. I've got an Akasha book here, and you need to say a certain couple of sentences to kind of step into it. Yeah, then you can ask and search for some things because everything is in there for you. So, for example, my mother has been into angels and angel healings, Akasha, and lots of spiritual stuff as well. So, with her, I have been into the Akasha to ask about any things I was struggling with, things about performing as well. For example, I have done some meditations to go into past lives. And the amazing thing is, for example, doing those past lives meditations, you will know what you need to know in that moment. So if you would do a meditation again next week or whatever, you will get something else because it will be different what you need to know or need to hear in that time. So I remembered once I did a meditation and I got shown a almost a scene of a past life of me. And I was this housewife, lived on a farm, waiting for my husband to come back. It was like the 1500s. It felt very kind of grey, very brown. Yeah, before I knew it, I just felt so much guilt and so much fear. And before I knew it, everything was turning red, and I You know, it's interesting because sometimes you see it from your point of view, and sometimes you see it from a little bit of a helicopter point of view. And then when everything turned red, I saw myself being pushed into a river, dead, like bleeding and stuff. What does that tell me now? What did that tell me? So I think for me, that told me I feel I'm quite good in putting barriers in relationships, if that's friendship relationships or lover relationships that aren't healthy for me. I think I'm quite good at drawing the line of this doesn't make me feel good. I'm gonna stop here, you're gonna stop there, and that's it. On the other hand, I feel I'm quite kind and give people a lot of chances and always feel I give them a new start, give them the opportunity to just, to connect. But also, that past life maybe told me that the reason why I was abused in a past life maybe has something to do with me opening up to a relationship in this life and how to tackle that. And I think in general, it's really good to, for example, what Alan Cumming said during the show, stay curious, look for adventure, like, oh, have that kind of fun energy. That's really important. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Magical. Okay. Sex is so broad. It's not only just the copulation, the, side of sex. I feel sex is being sensual. By the way, being sexual is more like flirtatious and being kind, and I feel seeing someone be confident is very sexual. And with confident, I mean them being happy with themselves, them, accepting who they are and enjoying life. And confident is not acting a certain way. It's not wearing certain clothes from a brand that you think other people will like, so you are cool. No, being confident is feeling cool, is that you are. And confident has to do with you and not with anybody around you. And you can be confident and vulnerable. You can be. I'm very confident in being vulnerable. And some people are very comfortable and confident in being cocky. But for me, that's not attractive. And to be fair, if you are cocky and confident with that, oh yeah, I'm confusing myself a bit because I don't think that is being confident. Well, maybe it is. Like I thought of like emotions that could be seen as not very attractive, but sometimes when somebody is a little bit pissed off, a little bit angry, and that could be very attractive as well. Interesting. Yeah. But yeah, the magical thing about being attracted to someone, it has to do with who they are. And I think, yeah, I'm not going to tell the story again about that. I had sex with a hot guy. And I was like, oh, this will be great. And it wasn't great because I thought because he looked great that the sex would be great. So ladies and gentlemen and everybody in between, feel the person. Not with your touch, feel it with your gut. And then you're gonna just have more fun, I think. Well, I'm not telling you what to do in life, but yeah. Now, other story. I had this colleague. He told me he had sex with the guy he was dating, and he had sex, and after sex, he cried. And he cried from joy, from happiness, what the amazing sex was. And when he said that, I was like, oh, so is that kind of the summum? Is that the peak that you need to have, that you, when you have sex and you cry afterwards, that you, is that the goal? Is that was the, and I thought that was kind of the goal in life, that if you would have sex and you cry after that. Luckily, I became a bit of Judge Judy after a while because I was like, this is not adding up. And, you know, it's proper fair for him if he felt that way in that moment. But then for me, I was like, oh, maybe I don't need to cry. Maybe I don't have something to release after good sex. I have had sex that felt healing, that had kind of a healing feeling in me that I was like, oh, I A, needed that, and B, it released stress. It released almost a little bit of a traumatic thing just because of sex. So I didn't cry, but I definitely felt enlightened. And what is magical sex? You know, not putting it out there, but I feel when there is a flow, when there's a communication, when you tune in onto each other, or tune in on the people, talk about what you like, talk about what you don't like. If there's something in a moment that you're like, oh, this doesn't feel right, this doesn't feel good, it's okay to stop and be like, hey, can we do something else? Can we do something different? Or even like, sorry, this doesn't feel nice, or it hurts, or, you know. Stay yourself, stay true to yourself even when you have sex. Don't be like my ex when he sometimes used my dick as a microphone to sing in it, because that is a boner killer. I can tell you, it switches the mood when he would do that. And I didn't like it. And I told him that I didn't like it. But did he stop? Nope. He tried it again. He grabbed my dick, tried to sing in it, and used it as a mic. And I didn't like it. So, shout out to you, ex-boyfriend. First boyfriend, by the way. Yeah. And on that note, which was lovely sang into my dick, we are gonna pull a card. We are gonna pull a card from the Angel Guide Oracle deck from Kyle Gray. It's a lovely, colourful, spectacular, magical deck. This card is for you for this week when this podcast comes out. Thank you so much, Angels, for guiding us. Thank you for being here. Thank you for helping us and telling us what we need to know, what my listeners need to know this week, and they need to know. Guardian Angel, you are protected. You are protected. You are safe. You are looked after. There are people, energies, entities, guides, angels behind you to support you. Yeah. Don't worry. You are protected. You are safe. If this situation that you are in now feels a bit shitty, it will pass. And the angels are telling to let go of that fear, so let go of that shitty energy, because they got you. They got your back. Yeah. Lovely people. Yeah, you are. You are protected. You are. They're behind you. They got your back. Yeah. Thank you so much, listeners. Lovely, lovely listeners. If you have any questions, please message me on What Is This Feeling podcast on Instagram. You can send me a message, send me a voice note, do whatever you like. And for now, listen to your feelings. Your feelings are valid. You are valid. Have an amazing week. Doei!